Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 11, Regional Movements. Let us have introduction about the unit. As India consists of a large number of regions with diverse social and cultural compositions and different levels, development of economy and infrastructure. It has been facing regional movements since it became independent. The reorganization of the states in India in 1956 did not solve problems related to regional disparities. Even after the formation of the particular state, a region or more within a state start regional movements for autonomy, independence, or even secession from the Union of India. This unit seeks to familiarize the Union of India. This unit seeks to familiarize the students with the regional movements and issues related to them. Let us discuss regional movements' meaning and significance. Regional movements is an identity movement seeking special privileges, protection, and concessions from the state. It is a movement for regional self-governance. In other words, it means movement for state formation, a movement seeking pluralization and federalization of existing polity and political process. There are two potential and significant causes of the emergence of regional movement. One is the inter-regional or inter-community conflict, and the other is the conflict between region and the state. Inter-regional conflict is usually shaped around insider-outsider complex, a complex that nurtures navism and son of the soil ideology. This, in other words, means a natural claim of the insider for better and preferential treatment by the state, particularly in terms of resources, distribution, and reservation of jobs for the locals. Anti-migrants movements in Assam and tribal, non-tribal conflict over the domicile issue in Jharkhand are some of the important examples of son of the soil ideology. Inter-regional conflict also occurs over regional pride, rooted in culture, language, and traditions. Regional pride is extended further in the event of broader dispute and sharing of river water. In such a situation, extent and meaning of region and regional movement expand to take the form of the state regionalism. This is very much evident from recent conflict between the Karnataka and Tamil Nadu over the sharing of Kaveri water, or broader dispute between Maharashtra and Karnataka, or the most recent conflict between Biharis and Assamese over the competitive examination for central services, or the Mumbaikar call of the Shiv Sena restricted and preventing non-Marathis from occupying important positions in the business, economy and polity of Maharashtra. It is probably the reason that some scholars consider regional movement as consequences of developmental tension between society and polity. On the other hand, region-state conflict usually takes place in the institutional structure of state system, wherein a region questions the distributive policy of the state as discriminatory, exploitative, and unfavorable to the overall well-being of the concerned regional community. It is from this perceived sense of deprivation, neglect, and internal colonialism that the people of a particular region organize themselves into a movement seeking, in most of the cases, separation from the existing state, or in select instances, settling with some autonomy arrangement within the same state. Here, it may be contextually mentioned that in the federal plural process of nation and state building, it is the high degree of democratization and competitive political mobilization which generally transform a territorially concentrated socio-cultural group into a self-conscious political community, questioning the hegemony of the dominant group, other regional community, in state apparatuses and policies, particularly those affecting its identity structure and developmental needs. Viewed in this perspective, regional movement appears to be non-centralist and self-determining and defining ideology of protest against hegemony of state power and dominant regional group. We can now possibly define regional movement as a movement for autonomy of identity and autonomy of development. Its objective may be accommodative, protectionist, welfareist, autonomist, separatist, and successionist. Successionism, however, seems to be merely a tactical strategy to pressurize the government. Once their genuine grievances are redressed, they settle down within the constitutionally propounded democratic structure of Indian nationalism. There are numerous examples to support this submission, ranging from Tamil separatism to Akali movement, red religious nationalism of Sikhs, Gorkhaland movements, Bodoland movements, etc. A close scrutiny of their demands were suggest that they seek a redefinition of state-society relationship in such a manner that accommodates their identity demands and takes due care of their socio-economic requirement. And to serve this purpose, they usually aspire for a constitutionally documented institutional space of their own, where their choices are self-determined. Thus, it is the protectionist self around which politics of regional movement revolves. Now the next topic is methodological insights on regional movements. Regional movements, especially in a diverse society like India, have conceptualized formations. Therefore, it requires a competential analysis of the complex interplay of reason, people, and the state. When we say regional movement, it immediately refers to the existence of a regional community with political overtone. In more than one sense, regional community is different from other social communities. In fact, reason may consist of many social communities, which through a highly complex process of nation formation constitute themselves into a distinct regional community. Regional community is generally formed on the basis of identity of affinity and interest. It is a community more in terms of horizontal comradeship than the uniformity or homogeneity scaling vertically. It is complementariness of interest and identity that help people to constitute and to imagine as a separate regional community. But is how a regional community formed? What are those subjective and objective factors which constitute a group of distinct regional political community? Competential analysis also helps in analyzing the success, failure, and subsistence of a regional movement. It further helps us in examining the nature and potential impact of regional movement on the process of federal nation building. It is commonly held that more subjectively the identity is grounded, more intense is the regional movement. It is in this context that theories of nationalism or nation and nationality formation assume critical significance in understanding the phenomena of regional identity formation and its transformation into a movement. Here, it is also worthwhile to consider the similarity and difference between the nationalism and regionalism. Regionalism and nationalism are symbolically linked. Both undergo similar process of construction and formation. They tend to serve their respective social constituencies as an ideology. They share similar analytical concern as to how identity is formed and when an identity becomes politically silent. Only difference between them is while the nationalism is generally centralizing, regionalism, on the contrary, is inherently decentralizing. It is possibly the reason that regional movement also emerges as a reaction to nationalism. In the literature on nationalism, we find two principally important but dichotomous accounts of national formation. Perennialist, premodernist, and the modernist. Premodernist considers identity as pre-given entity of distinct races, ethnicity, language, culture, and religion, etc. These individuals' attributes of identity are called the objective markers of identity. Anyone or combination of them constitutes a distinct national or subnational community, which, when politicized, become a distinct nation. Thus, for them, nation is a politicized ethno-cultural community, extended in history and deeply rooted in socio-cultural traditions. Since such a community is historically embedded, it is territorially persistent as well. In other words, a community, in order to be effective, must also have a cultural homeland. Thus, reason in this context refers to a socially structured territorial space where ecology and economy have deep impact on the making of a distinct and visible common identity of the people living in that region. Two regions cannot be culturally similar. Their geo-specific do vary from each other, even though they share in common many zonal characteristics. It is this fusion of identity and territory that makes regional community a self-determining community. It is this fusion which also rationalizes their claims to autonomy. Interestingly, in India, a regional community may and may not have pre-given bond of ethnic and culture. As the studies on the construction of Uttarakhandi and Jharkhandi identities have shown, it is the distinctiveness of regional economy and ecology that created first an interest community, which over the years of cohabitation succeeded in creating a common cultural bond. Social making of India further suggests that every form of identity and its objective markers have carved out distinct territory for itself. This we refer to as identity zone. In India, culture, language, religion, ethnicity, social traditions have assumed regional characteristics. It is probably the reason that we find performative variation in the observance of religious practices and caste idioms from region to region. Another interesting factor about the regions in India is that most of them had some form of administrative identity in the past, when people and territory structurally, institutionally enmeshed with each other to give reason a particular cultural trait and easily recognizable patterned behavior of the people. Historical cultural religion has had evolved communicative signs and symbols, which in some cases led to the growth of an independent language or dialect. What emerges from this account of religion formation is the fact that a regional community may be constituted on the basis of pre-given identity, or it may be constructed afterwards, which in the process of modernization and development gets consolidated further as community of common material interest and destiny. But how a regional community translates itself into a subnational movement? To find an explainable answer, we have to take into consideration the methodological submission of the modernization or mobilization theory of nation formation. There are two crucial submissions of this theory. First, conversion of community into a movement is a process of mobilization by elite, intelligentsia and leaders. And second, in order to provide further dynamics and cohesion to community consciousness, identity is reinvented and relocated in the contextual present. This may require contextual reconstruction and reinterpretation of identity content of a regional community. But who does this? It is the elite who select symbols, usually from distinctive ethnic and cultural past, and standardizes them for larger group cohesion. The elite in the competitive setting of liberal constitutionalism politically mobilizes the given identity. In other words, it is the state which provides a setting in which identity crystallizes and movement emerges. The state itself becomes a critical site of identity, constellations, and a breeding ground for subnational or regional movement to emerge. Writing perceptively about India, Myron Wehner observes, the process of identity formation is a complex one with several key elements. One element is the institutional structure, which shapes the framework within which group identities are maintained and intensified. The federal system, the structure of political parties, the educational system, and media serve to reinforce some identities while undermining others. A second element can be described as reactive mechanisms. Group identities are often formed or reinforced when challenged by others. The challenge may come as a consequence of assimilative pressures, migration, economic competition, or political threats. A third element can be described as policy feedbacks. Government policies in the form of entitlements and reservations induce groups to reorganize for political action, which in turn intensifies group identities. A fourth element is the underlying cultural conception of the state's relationship to group identities. Here, the issue is whether society is seen as subordinate to the state or whether society is viewed as autonomous. Here we want to wind up this lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.